Please turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1 this morning. 14-year-old Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That is our title today. My soul doth magnify the Lord as we consider the powerful, wonderful, miraculous Christmas story. Let us look at Luke chapter 1 this morning. Her words, Mary's words, are found there in verse number 46. But let us back up and take in all of this text from verses 26 through 56 of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse number 26. "And in the sixth month," what is that? The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the magnificent story of Christmas, the birth of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this morning you might empower and bless us to receive what you have for us today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message. I'm depending on you for this. I'm not depending on myself at all. And we're trusting to hear from our great God today because our dependence is in you and not in ourselves. We ask your blessing on this congregation. We ask your blessing on those that are tuning in from technology. And we ask, Lord, that you would grow us in the faith right now and give us some great nuggets of truth that will help us to train us and build us in the faith of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask this with praise and with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever you study the Word of God, it is important to get the right visual in your mind as to what's happening. And we want to build that picture this morning by talking about some of the visuals that people get that are not right about this beautiful Christmas story. We want to be careful that we don't Americanize the story of Christmas, the story of the birth of our Savior and the Holy Family and all that surrounds it. You know, a lot of people do that. They read the Bible, they Americanize it. I even get phone calls from people and they say, "Now, Pastor, how can that be?" Well, we're going to find out this morning how that can be. And so we want to be tuned in today that how was it really in the Bible time, in the Bible account? To give you an example of how we can get it all wrong, let's consider the wise men for a moment. Most people see the wise men in their minds as three of them. There are three wise men, and that's probably because they brought three gifts. And they are pictured on decked out Cadillac camels with all kinds of jewels and beautiful garments for the camel. And here they are trudging across the sand on their way to see the baby Jesus. All right. And we know that that is not true at all. Had there been three wise men going across the desert through the sand, there would have been three dead wise men because they would have been robbed and everything would be gone that they had in their possession. But no, we know that the wise men could have been more than three of them, and we know that they had quite a big caravan of folks. They had soldiers. They had protectors. They had other folks who were going along. They had folks who were going to take care of the camp every night and every morning, and they were going to be the cooks, and all these folks are going to be with them. So we want to get the right visual in our mind about what is happening here in Bible times, and especially here as the Lord Jesus is going to be born. And so the Christmas story is a really, really neat story, and we can learn a lot of great things from it. So in our first point this morning, the angel Gabriel meets Mary. The angel Gabriel meets Mary. Well, let's switch from what people think about wise men to what people think about angels. On the bottom of our Christmas tree, there hangs a whole bunch of little Hallmark angels about like this. And you know what those angels are? They're little baby. Are there baby angels? No, there are no cherubs. And do angels really have long, flowing white robes and great big bird-like wings? No, angels look like you and me. They're men. And what do they wear? They wore the attire, the garb of the day. When Gabriel came in to see Mary, she wasn't startled by his appearance. She was startled by what he had to say. And Daniel, we're looking at Daniel tonight. Gabriel comes to Daniel, and how did he come? Dressed like Daniel, looking like the times. A man, okay? No women angels. I said to one of our folks on the way out, I said, we have an angel out here on the top of the hutch, and we're going to have to give that thing a haircut, and we're going to have to change the clothes because we got to get this right. So I'm just kidding about that. But, you know, people get funny ideas about angels and other things. And so, and even the art, I guess the artists have really done us a disfavor there in their Christmas cards and paintings and all of this, and they just seem to get that all wrong. So here's Mary, and in comes Gabriel, and what happens? She's completely caught off guard. I mean, she was not expecting this at all. And so we want to think about Mary, and here's another thing that people get wrong and they get upset about. And that is, you know, Mary is about 14 years old at this time. She is not 18, 19, or 20. She's not an American. All right? She is about 14 years of age. And so we ask ourselves the question, why don't the Bible writers tell us how old she really was? Well, in biblical culture, girls were espoused or contracted to be married at the age of 12 or 13. And then they were married about 14 years of age. If a girl in Bible times, when Jesus walked the earth, if a girl was 15 years old and not married, she was considered an old maid. I mean, she's way past the time she... What's the deal here? You're supposed to hurry up and get married and start this wonderful, great, big Jewish family that they had. And that is exactly what is going to happen. So in America, we sort of consider a girl young to get married at like, what, 17, 16? And usually nowadays, that's not really happening much at all. They're like at least 18, 19, 20, and a lot of folks today are putting it off and putting it off. So as you build this Christmas picture in your mind of this angel, he's looking, he's a man, and he is dressed in the garb of the day, and he's telling Mary she is going to birth the Messiah, the Son of God. And so in Mary, we see wonderful virtues in this young lady. And we need to be thinking today in our Christian circles that the best thing in the world that we can do is pump the children full of the Bible. Pump them full of the things of God. Mary's parents did that for her. She was a young woman who had Bible knowledge. She was a woman of faith. And God chose her because she was ready to take on this task that he was going to give to her. In my day, in my own life, junior high, 7th and 8th grade, they were my favorite 2 years of my whole schooling. And for 2 years at Lebanon Junior High School, I never came home after school. I was playing football, and then I played basketball, and then we went to the wrestling mat, and then we went out to the track. And I got to thinking to myself as I was preparing this message, what if I wouldn't have done all that? What if I wouldn't have spent all that? I mean, what good is it doing me now, you know? I have a rib injury right here from playing football. If I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have that, okay? I wouldn't have this rib that sticks out real funny, okay? I got blasted. So, you know, if I wouldn't have done all of that stuff, and if I would have went home after school, and if I would have got my Bible out, and if I would have got out some good books about the Bible, and if I would have even just spent 45 minutes after school doing that, how much farther ahead would have I been, you know? And how much farther ahead would I be right now this morning? Well, Mary was already there, okay? Mary got that training from her parents, and at the synagogue, she knew these things. And what comes out of her is just testimony that she has been soaking in like a sponge the things of God. And most young people, especially today, they just don't do that. But Mary did that, and so it's important for us to really emphasize biblical things for our kids, even when they're very, very little. Well, let's jump now to point number two this morning. How did Mary respond to Gabriel's message? How did she respond to Gabriel's message? Well, we know from reading this text that Mary had a lot of good traits as a woman of faith, as a believer in Jehovah God. Some of the things that she possessed in her life that we can pull out of here, she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of courage. She was a woman who submitted herself to God. She knew the Bible. She was a believer in what she was told. She was humble. She was prayerful. She was praise-giving. She was contemplative. And when the time came for her to meet the struggles that were going to come because of what was happening in her life right now, she hits the thing head on. She's ready for this. And what a great young lady, someone to be emulated. One of the nurses in the hospital, one of the helpers there, her name was Mary on Thursday that we were in there in the hospital, and she was there, and I thought, you know what, wouldn't it be nice if she would be just like the Mary of the Bible? So why doesn't God just come right out and tell us how old Mary was? Well, the answer is this. When the writers of Scripture penned the words from God, they didn't have to explain things that everybody knew. It was common knowledge. They didn't have to write that down. They already knew when a young lady was contracted to be married. They knew when they were going to be married, around the age of 14. It was common knowledge. They're not writing a historical account so that we can learn something in a class. Alright? So it was common that these things were common to the day. No need to write it. Everybody knows it already. It was understood. The Bible writers were not sitting there penning the truth of Scripture and thinking about 21st century Americans. All right? But that's how a lot of folks try to do it. They try and Americanize the whole story of Christmas. Now, when you give somebody a call on your phone, you don't have to give a big description about your phone. You don't need to describe it. You don't need to talk about how it works. You just do it, because everybody knows all about that. Well, in Sunday school class, the Sunday school teacher is talking about Joshua. And she said, you know, God called Joshua to do a work. Little kid, what was Joshua's phone number? Well, you know, don't need to know that, do we? He had no phone. This little kid didn't know that. What was Joshua's phone number? Well, if Mary was 18 to 20 years old, the Bible would tell us that. Because that would be weird. That would be strange. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And so we would be let in on that situation if things were not quite right. There are some great things going on in this Christmas story. And so the better we understand what's going on and what was happening, the better we can connect to it and the more we can learn from it. Now, the Bible does not give us a blow-by-blow description of the crucifixion, does it? Okay, in the Gospel of John, it says, now when they crucified somebody, step one, this is how, no, they don't do that. Why? Because everybody knew it. They didn't have to talk about the crucifixion. People were at crucifixions. People were getting crucified all the time. It was a well-known thing, and so they did not have to discuss that. Everything was known already. And so usually the congregation just lets it up to the preacher to dig that out and share all that. And a lot of times people get a little queasy when you talk about that. We're not going to talk about it this morning either. But it was a horrible, horrible thing that our Savior went through in crucifixion. But the Bible doesn't detail the thing out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so let's say that Mary is in the late end of things, and here she is at 14 years old, And she's confronted by the angel, and he says, you, young lady, are going to give birth to the promised Messiah. What's her reaction? What would be the reaction of a normal 14-year-old today? Oh, no, not me. You've got the wrong girl. You better go down the street. You must be at the wrong house. You know, not Mary. No. She does not flip-flop. She doesn't do stupid talk. She's mature and she is believing and she already has an understanding of Bible knowledge. So when she's hearing these things, she's just putting two and two together. She's accepting of what the angel is saying. And what does she say? Be it unto me according to your word. That's how it ought to be for all of us. As we have our devotions, and I hope that you're really enjoying and using the Christmas devotional that we sent out to everybody. Man, I love it. Man, it at first, in the first few days, you know, I could pick, this one's the best. It's getting hard to do that now. It's getting very, very hard because they are so good and so full of wonderful Bible truth and knowledge. And so here's Mary, and she's got Bible knowledge. Be it unto me according to your word. And that's how we need to approach things in our life. And when the Scripture is speaking to us, same deal. Let us do the will of God as He has stated it. So Mary is not just going to birth the Messiah. She is going to have that large Jewish family. Now we know from Scripture that Mary is going to have at least six more children. At least six more. And they are going to have that large Jewish family. And not only that, she may have even lost some children. I mean, in those days, they didn't have the hospital, they didn't have the doctor, they didn't have all this wonderful technology, and so a lot of children were lost. And so who knows, we really don't even know how many children Mary and Joseph had. So everybody wanted a large family. And so they did, and they had that, and the Lord blessed them. Two of their sons would pen Scripture, James and Jude. Remember the story of Jesus staying back in Jerusalem when he was 12 years old? As Mary and Joseph were traveling down the road, were they all worked up about, where's Jesus? No, they weren't. Why? Because Jesus was 12 years old, and in the Jewish world, 12 meant Jesus was now a man. He was considered a man, and he could take care of himself, and they were not worried. Besides, I mean, Jesus is 12. How many more do they have now? Do they have a 10, an 8, a 6, a 4, a 2, and a baby? They're more worried about the little ones. The big ones can handle it. All right, they're not worried about this at all. And of course, Mary knew that this child Jesus was something special. Not one spanking, not one time did he sass her, none of that. She knew Jesus would be fine. So 12-year-olds were considered men. They were not like what we consider junior high boys now, right? A lot of folks define junior high boys as lost in space. And then some years later, they get it all together. But junior high is an interesting time frame for boys and girls. But here's Jesus. He is a man. So being 12 years old, what does that mean? What that means is that in just a few years, Jesus would be of marriageable age. Now, of course, we know that never happened, but in his youth at 12, he was not long. If he was a typical Hebrew boy, he would be getting married in a very, very short time. And so he is they're very mature. They grew up faster in those days. So typically, boys would marry at about 14 or 15 years old. But they weren't pushed to get married. A boy could wait a little longer. It was the girl who was pushed, because you've got to get married and you've got to get this family started. You've got to start having lots of babies. And we're going to build Israel up. And that's the way they saw it. And so here's Mary at this young age, as she's a woman of character, faith, courage, humility, praise, prayer. You know? Typical children today. What's happening in their lives? It's all about the gaming. It's all about the phones. It's all about the computers. It's all about all these devices that they all know how to do and we don't. I mean, they have it all together. You just call them up and they fix it for you. It's all about the wrong stuff. So kids, they are being pressured in all the wrong ways. Children should be trained to be like Mary. Brought up in the church, brought up with Bible teaching in the home, pumping them full of Jesus. She was a woman of faith. She didn't know all the facts about the virgin birth. But when Gabriel explained it, she said, "May it be like you said. I'm accepting of this. I'm going to go with the plan that God has for me." And in Luke 1:38, the true meaning of the verse there is, "I am the Lord's slave." I am the Lord's slave. That's how she looked at it. We live in a culture where Christians know that God wants them to pray, and they say, "Well, I don't know if I want to pray that long. I don't know if I want to do that today." Well, God says to us, "I want you to go to church. I want you to meet with God's people. I want you to go there." And people say, "Well, I don't know. That'll carve out my whole Sunday morning if I do that. I'll just watch a half hour on TV and that'll be good." No, that's not the way it ought to be at all. So here's Mary. And she's going to have a lot of issues are going to come of this. There are going to be accusations. There are going to be funny looks. And she stands up and says, "I am the Lord's slave. Be it unto me as you have said." What does she do? She gets out of town. She's smart. She gets out of town. She heads to Elizabeth's house. And she hears words of confirmation. And she hears words of confidence, and God is working in that situation as well. And Mary explodes with, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." She's really gained confidence now that she has run into Elizabeth's house. We see her courage as she will return home and she will confront all of these accusations and face up to her family and their questioning. And what's going on there. And the people that are close to their home. Mary walks in and she just hits it head on. I mean, she is an amazing, young, godly lady. And therefore, that is why she was chosen by God to be the earthly mother and the bearer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, we can learn a lot from the Christmas story. And you know, our lives this morning as God's children need to be all about Christ, need to be all about Jesus. As we approach this Christmas season, we need to really keep that in the back of our minds, or maybe the front of our minds. This is about Jesus. It's about all the stuff that is going on out there. Let us put Jesus first in our life right now at this Christmas season of the year. May it be all about Him. May it be about the miracles of Christmas. May it be about our contemplation and our meditation on the wonderful things of our Savior at this wonderful, special Christmas time of the year. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the story of Christmas. We know it is the truth. It is the inspired Word of God. We believe it. We accept it. We embrace it here this morning. We ask that the truth of Christmas would be a reality in our hearts, in our lives. May we love you even more as we sit and meditate on what you did in coming to this earth as the virgin-born baby, the Son of God. You came here to eventually get to that cross and then to rise from the dead. There was a perfect plan. And you considered us measly, little, sinful people in your plan. You made it so you could take care of our sin problem and that we could be saved and that we could live for you, with you forever and ever and ever. So may we enjoy the time here at Christmas season. May it be a real blessing. And Father, would you take all of us here at Faith Chapel, those that are listening, make us a blessing to the people we're going to run into as we're out and about this week. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.